Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. No matter where you are in the world, welcome to the Restore Australia Radio Show. And, of course, your host, Mike Holt, is here. And I've got a special guest on today, Daniel Evans from Canberra. And Daniel, I met down there in Canberra during the last Reclaim Australia rally. Good bloke, but he's got some news for us. Daniel, hello there. How are you?
How you going, Mike? Yeah, I'm doing good.
Oh, that's good. How's things in Canberra?
It's very hot today, very hot.
Yeah, it's pretty hot down here, up here too. Yeah. You're organising a big event down there. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, Tommy Robinson over in Europe, I think he works with Pegida over there, and about just before December last year, he announced he wants to try and get everyone to rally all on the same day. This was mainly a European event, but I guess some people have a few connections there, and he's spoken to them and asked them to put on a rally, and me being in Canberra, I got asked if I could help out on that.
Fantastic. When is that? February 12, isn't it?
6th of February.
6th, oh.
Yep, on the 6th. 6th all right, of February, Saturday.
Make a note of that, everybody. It's on the 6th of February in Canberra. If you can, please get there. I hear there are buses coming in from all over Australia to join you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We're trying to make it a bit easier for people to get here because we are trying to make this a combined Patriot National Rally, all in one place, get everyone all down to Federal Parliament. There are a few buses organised already. I know Newcastle have one already full and another one going. I think Melbourne's got a full one. In Adelaide as well. A few of them are starting to look at getting second buses.
How are they going from Brisbane?
Say again?
How are they coming from Brisbane?
Yeah, there's meant to be a bus going there. There's two Patriot groups onto that, but I think they haven't quite got onto it yet. But there's meant to be two groups organising up there.
Okay.
I know Reclaim, or someone from Reclaim is trying to get someone onto that, and there's the Australian Brotherhood. If you go onto their page, you'll be able to find it. Most of the other buses, we're trying to get a national list going. So if you do go to the Reclaim National page or the Adelaide page, that's the person there, and they'll put your details over to the appropriate person, and they'll get in contact with you if you do need to get on the bus.
Fantastic. All right, look, if you can email me all the details, Daniel, I'll make sure it gets out there through my website and the Facebook page and a couple of others.
Yeah, no worries. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Another thing we're doing with the buses, actually, we've started a fund. I'll send you those details as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of money in that. And this is to help people that are coming from the big distances, such as Brisbane and Adelaide. It will be costing a bit more for them to get here to Canberra and, of course, accommodation. So the more money we can raise, the cheaper it's going to be and a lot easier for them. Because a lot of people, you know, especially after Christmas, it's a bit hard pulling the money together for a trip down to Canberra from such a long distance.
Mm. Okay. What else do you want to tell us about it, mate?
We've got a few speakers lined up already. Kim Vuga's coming down. She'll be speaking. She was down at Cronulla. I met her down there. And, she's coming down. Danny Nalia, he was down at Cronulla as well, and I asked him whilst we're at Cronulla, and he's happy to come and speak at this rally as well. Scott Morland from up in Brisbane, he's going to be coming down and talking. And Paul Kahn, Paul Kuhn.
Yeah.
Paul Kuhn, I haven't seen him yet, but apparently he spoke at the Adelaide rally a couple of times.
Yeah, he's a good mate of mine.
Okay.
Good fella.
In fact,
they're all good speakers.
I think I missed one, yeah. John Bolton as well.
Sorry. Oh, John, yeah. I met him down in Canberra, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he hasn't actually said he will, but I know he's coming. He did say he wanted to speak, but it was Mark, who is a great Aussie bastard. He wants to be speaking as well. So I'm sure we'll be fitting him on the list as well.
Oh, you've got a stellar lineup there, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we're hoping for a few more big names too. We're just waiting to hear back there, so we can't say anything yet, and you know, till it's locked in. But yeah, there's a couple more big names we're hoping to get as well.
Excellent. Where is it going to be held?
So it's going to be at Parliament House, same as where we did the rally last time. I was with you when you were down here.
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're having it a bit later, so for some of the people like in Sydney and Newcastle, they'll be heading back the same day, so it's going to give them time to get to Canberra and then be able to head back in the evening. After the rally, we're putting on a big barbecue as well, because there are going to be quite a few people who are going to be staying here from Adelaide and Brisbane, and I know others from Sydney and that will be staying as well in Melbourne. But, yeah, we got someone already lined up for that, and they're going to be bringing a couple of pigs on, putting them on the spit, and soaking.
Love it.
You've got to have that.
Oh, I wish I could make it, mate. I'd love to be down there, but I've got so much going on up here. As you know, I'm getting ready to run for the Senate.
Yeah.
So that's keeping me very busy. Let's have a quick break now. I'll play a song, and when I come back, I'll get you to tell us a bit more about the actual rally.
Back in the 60s and 70s, there was a group called Jefferson Airplane and Jefferson Starship, and they had a fantastic fiddle player called Papa John Creech. This man could play a fiddle like nobody else I've ever heard. Have a listen to this. Country Girls.
Country girls, I think they all done got hip. You know there ain't no more country girls. To go to the movies, they all want a Las Vegas trip. They used to kiss you on the way to work, stand at the door and wish you luck. Kiss you on the way to work and stand at the door and wish you luck. Nowadays, if you want to get kissed, get it from your local lunchroom.
Australia Radio Show with your host Mike Holt, and my guest today is Daniel Evans. Daniel, first of all, tell me, what group are you with, and who is actually organising the rally?
Well, I don't like to class myself with any particular group. this rally is, it's a Pegida rally. It's we're calling it Save Our Country, Save Our Culture. Stand Up for Australia, they're the main group who organise rallies in Canberra usually, and they're very much involved in this at the moment. And Reclaim Australia have jumped on board, plus a few other patriot groups who are helping with the bus. But really, it's so Stand Up for Australia and Reclaim Australia are the main runners of it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Tommy Robinson before. Tell us what the rally is all about.
Yeah, well, as you can see, you know, being that it is a, you know, worldwide thing, really what it's about invasion of, well, our Australian culture and the Western democracy. This is the democracy that we have in the West, you know, such as in Europe and here in Australia and America. Nothing like in the East and the Middle East there. We totally want to get away from any going back to that barbaric civilization, which we see coming in now, especially in England, with Sharia courts being snuck in. And, you know, they're meant to be there just for family purposes, but we know that a lot more goes on in those courts. And we want to ensure that this is kept Western. This is one of our main goals there.
Okay.
I suppose we do have the three main goals. That is one that we've touched on there. Another one is the strengthening of immigration policies to ensure, you know, we've seen what's happened with it in Europe, just opening the floodgates, and half of them could be ISIS, ex-ISIS fighters for all we know, and that was just happening in Cologne in Germany, where 1,000 men, you know, raping, or well, not raping, you know, there was a girl raped, but assaulting many women and robbing them, and this is just crazy, you know, and it's this barbaric culture has been let in to thrive amongst our Western democracy, and it's just, it's clashing, it's not working.
No, it's not. Actually, I believe that those attacks on New Year's Eve were actually very well coordinated. That was a show of strength by the Muslims to show us that we have lost control of our cities, in Germany anyway. You can expect a lot more of these, I'm sure. This is only the first step.
Oh, it's absolutely disgusting. And just seeing that the police, I think on that night, they were too scared to go in. But we've seen just after, when there was a protest against what happened that night,
yeah,
the police being able to come out and put the fire hoses on the protesters there, on the original countrymen from Germany. You know, they're getting the hoses put on them and getting into trouble. But they did nothing.
No, it's very strange, actually, because this is exactly what happened during the Vietnam War. When we were protesting the Vietnam War, the police came out and attacked us, and yet we weren't the ones who were doing the wrong thing. It was the politicians and the others like that who were causing these problems.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody likes war, and this is something I think we're trying to avoid. Like, I have talked to a lot of people to try and get them to come to some of the other Reclaim rallies and other rallies. And, you know, I don't know whether it's just a laziness, or a lot of them, they've just said, you know, tell me when the guns come out.
Well, you that's know? A bit late then, isn't it?
Too late then. And I want to stop this before it gets to this stage, before it gets to the stage of Europe. I'll just touch back for our 3 points there. I'd say now we're trying to protect the Australian culture and Western democracy, the strengthening of immigration policies. Our third point was sanctioning of Islamic countries. These are countries such as Iran and Saudi Arabia that are full Islamic countries and that practice Sharia law and don't allow any other religion within there. Totalitarian. And I believe we need to cut all diplomatic ties with these people. We shouldn't be trading with them. And it's just crazy that in the last year, Australia started up trade talks again now with Iran.
Well, the problem, of course, is it's oil, and it always comes back to money. That's the big problem. And our politicians just would sell us out for, you know, a barrel of oil. Well,
yep.
I'm sorry, but that's not good enough anymore. People like you and me, we've woken up and we're not going to take it, and I know a lot of other Aussies feel the same way.
That's right.
Actually, I was just down the beach today, and somebody was admiring the flags and the CIR stickers on my car, Citizens Initiated Referendum stickers. And he said, "Oh, what's that?" And I explained it to him. He says, "Oh, I'm from Germany. That's what we need." And I said, "We all need it." And he said, "Yeah, you're right. We do. We need to start taking control of our government. They've run amok, and they haven't done the right thing. They haven't governed properly. They've lost the right to govern. So now it's time for us to take the power into our hands and make the government accountable to us."
Yeah, you're right when you talk about that. Putting the power back into the people's hands, and I've read a bit through your constitution there. I've got it sitting right in front of me, actually. What's it called? The first draft of a constitution for the sovereign nation of Australia.
That's right.
I feel that the country we're living in now, it's a false democracy. It's we're here, we have votes, we have elections, we have referendums. My go-to whenever I'm talking about this, and I spoke about it at Cronulla, when I spoke there, was I think back in the 90s it was, there were several referendums. There was at least two or three referendums asking the people of Canberra whether they wanted to have self-government or stay under the federal government. And on each referendum, the answer came back no. A year after the last referendum, self-government was imposed on the people of Canberra.
Hmm.
That's not a democracy.
No.
Yet nothing said about it. They just did it, and here we are.
Mm.
And this is where I feel it's just they do what they want, and they're just portraying this false democracy for us to think we are living in a democracy when it's not.
No, it's actually a dictatorship of the political parties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not nice. And all we've got to do is make some noise, I think. So hopefully we can get a lot of people down there on the 6th of February down in Canberra.
Good. So apart from having the rally, what's the organisation? What's going on the day? What can people expect?
Well, we'll be starting, for the people who I suppose aren't fit to walk, it is only a short walk. I think it's just under a kilometre, or it's about 800-900 metres. We meet down the bottom of Parliament House, and we walk up.
Outside the museum, wasn't it?
Treasury building.
Treasury building, that's right.
The Hyatt Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We walk up from there, have a bit of a march, and then the speakers start. Actually, we have been looking. I've always wanted to get someone out who can play the electric guitar to do the national anthem. So if anyone's out there listening, try and get message if you can play the electric guitar and you wouldn't mind doing that at this rally. I'd love to hear from you. If you could message a Reclaim the Australia Canberra page and let me know. But that's something I'd like there.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I've seen it done once before with the American anthem, and I thought that I'd like to hear that. So I'll be running through these speakers. I think everything should be going from about 2 o'clock. We start the march, or just before 2 o'clock. So around 2 o'clock, we'll be up at Parliament House. We'll be going through the speakers, and each of them will get a go. And once the events finish up, I think we'll disperse for a couple of hours. And there hasn't been a location set for the barbecue of the evening yet, but there will be a barbecue. And I think Reclaim Australia Adelaide has offered to pay for and put on the barbecue for in the morning before everyone heads back home.
Mm.
Bacon and egg rolls and all that in the morning before everyone jumps back on the bus and heads home. So that's great of them for chipping in to do that.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm.
Okay, here's the big question. Have you heard any rumours or anything about the left turning up to cause trouble?
No, strangely enough, normally we do see some things on their page. There has been someone going to the Sydney page on the post for the buses from Sydney to the rally on Stand Up for Australia Sydney page. But I think that was just a lone dickhead saying they're going to be causing trouble. Excuse my language there. Sorry, Mike.
We're all big boys here, mate.
But yeah, there hasn't been nothing there. But I am being preemptive here, and I've got a letter just drafted up by a lawyer right now that I'm sending off to the police, stating that we are seeking our right of freedom to protest in a public place, and we have a right to be protected, and we're asking that if any of these people do come, they'll be kept at least a kilometre away from us.
Mm.
This has all been stated in a letter. And yeah, if the other things do come up, well, I'll be proceeding further, but I won't be going into that right now.
All right, here's a little tip from one who's been there and done that in Brisbane. I got I organised the last rally, the Reclaim Australia rally in Brisbane, and although it went off very well, we had a lot of sound system problems. So make sure you've got a good sound system and that you've tested it and that it really does work.
Yeah.
The guy who was supposed to...
Trouble at the rally when you came down, we ended up having to use the megaphone.
Yeah, well, we had to do the same thing in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a nuisance.
Well, we've done well for the last couple of rallies. One of the guys from Stand Up, their brother, runs a company that hires out all that stuff and the stages and everything. So we've gotten the stage and the sound system, real good sound system, real cheap. We actually, there was a post put on Facebook on one of the lefty pages whilst they were at the rally saying, "It's too loud," which was great.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to suggest to you, because, you know, at the Brisbane rally, they were just singing really loudly. They had a big sound system, and, of course, we didn't, so they were drowning us out. And they were also very foul-mouthed, you know. They were using the F word, off. So what I would like to suggest is that you get two sound systems. One sound system for your speakers, and the other one pointed at the lefties and drowning them out.
Well, that's what we did have last time. We had three speakers set up last time, so two facing out to our audience, and one was specifically pointed right at them. So, we've been pretty well on top of that. I think we've learned from that, and, yeah, we've done well. And since it's being a bigger rally, we're going to have to be getting quite a few more.
All right, let's take another break, Daniel.
Each week we read a verse from the Quran. The verses in the Quran are called surahs. This is Surah 9, verse 5. So when the sacred months have passed away, then slay the idolaters wherever you find them, and take them captive, and besiege them, and lie in wait for them in every ambush. Then, if they repent and keep up prayer and pay the poor rate, leave their way free for them. According to this verse, the best way of staying safe from Muslim violence is to convert to Islam. Pray, which they call Salat, and the poor tax, Zakat, are among the religion's five pillars. This popular claim that the Quran only inspires violence within the context of self-defense is seriously challenged by this passage as well, since the Muslims to whom it was written were obviously not under attack. Had they been, then there would have been no waiting period. Earlier verses make it a duty for Muslims to fight in self-defense, even during the sacred months. The historical context is Mecca after the idolaters were subjugated by Muhammad and posed no threat. Once the Muslims had power, they violently evicted those unbelievers who would not convert. And this is just as true today as it was back then. We need to be aware of what Islam really is, because you can see what's going on in Germany today, in Holland, in Brussels, in France, in Sweden, in Denmark. Islam has invaded Europe, and they mean to take over the whole world. Beware. Islam is the problem.
This is Mike Holt, your host for the Restore Australia radio show, and I'm back on the air with Daniel Evans down in Canberra, who's organising a big rally down there on February 6th. Daniel, we've been talking about all the arrangements, etc. Now, I'd like to ask you a little bit about Tommy Robinson, because he was the leader of the ADL. He was the founder of ADL, actually, the EDL.
Oh, yeah.
The English Defence League. And, of course, we know what happened there. He ran foul of the government, and he had so many problems that in the end he left them, and there were some pretty controversial things going on. But I believe he's back in the saddle and he's back there fighting, which is where he should be. And tell me a little bit about him. What your relationship with him is? Do you have one? Or
yeah, well, that's all I have to say. I don't know too much about Tommy. John Oliver is the one who's in contact with him.
Okay.
He's probably the go-between person there. I do know. I think Tommy has run into a bit more trouble just now. He has stepped aside in Pegida now as well. There are two new people heading up Pegida over in Europe now.
Unbelievable, the British government, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure exactly what's happened there, but I know, yeah, something's happened. But there are a couple of videos up at the moment. He has just posted a new video. I think it's been put onto a couple of the Reclaim pages and on the Save Our Country, Save Our Culture page, which is a page that was set up for this rally.
Hmm.
And that's where his videos get posted. So I think there's... I couldn't tell you too much about him, so sorry about that.
That's okay. I'd like to see him come over here for a rally. Gee, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I know they've got a big couple of big rallies happening over there in Europe, so we're lucky enough to be invited in on this one. I know we've been asked to join in on world rallies before in Australia, and we're hoping to do our part down at this end of the world now, so...
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, too. I'm seeing now a lot more cooperation between the international groups. I talk to some of the groups in America and Canada and in the UK. Of course, I'm pretty closely allied with Liberty GB and Tim Burton.
Yeah.
I haven't really had anything to do with Tommy Robinson yet, but I'm sure the way that things are going now, where we're all starting to unite and coordinate things, that's going to come on the cards very soon too. But it's encouraging to see all the groups coming together and talking to each other, working together, coordinating activities. This is how we're going to win.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I think is one big thing with this rally that I've been trying to push for. I know there still are a few groups out there that have been negative about this and not wanting to participate because they don't like that group or that group, and I put it out there not to worry. You know, this is a Pegida rally. This is a European thing. No one should have issues with them being in Australia. But we still do have one or two or a couple that are willing to join in. But most are, and that's been great. So, yeah. They're within the groups, as we know, but you know, we are different. We're all Australian, and we want our individuality and our own groups, and that's fine. I like that. You know, some can't have that.
Well, I think what these groups that are not working with us need to understand is that each group has its own particular set of skills and abilities, and each one brings something to the table. So the more groups working together, the better. And, you know, this is not the time to be worried about egos, let's face it. Those days are well and truly gone. We've got to, you know, if we do have problems with each other, we've got to talk to each other and overcome those problems for the common good.
Absolutely.
None of us is perfect. We all make mistakes, and at times, you know, we step on each other's toes, as we, you know. But the fact is, you know, we're able to talk to each other and get over those things and work together. So that's what's most important.
Well, that's right, yeah. It's just, you know, looking at what everyone's main goals is. If we all like to run our show different, you know, as there are many different little groups, but, you know, we can all combine to make this a big rally and really put the point across to the government rather than lots of these little ones that have been happening.
Well, this is it. And, you know, the thing is, too, I hear people often say, because I'm running for the Senate as a Queensland candidate, I often hear people say, oh, there's too many small parties, you know, it's no good. But actually, they don't really understand how the system works. The fact is, each state has 12 senators.
Yeah.
Every election, six of those Senate seats come up for re-election. So an incumbent can run again, or a new candidate can run. Therefore, we've got six seats that are available for election. Now, in the lower house, you have one party representative in each electorate. And we have many, many electorates. I don't know how many electorates we have, actually. I should know that. But the fact is, the more parties we have, as long as we're all on the same page, you know, because all the patriot groups now are all starting to talk to each other, and the patriot parties, we're talking now about swapping preferences. So we will we'll preference each other, but we will try and keep the major parties out. That's the way that we can win. So the more small parties who are fielding people to run for election is better.
Absolutely. Yeah, this discussion has come up with me a few times, and I've brought that point across too, and just saying that as long as everyone can preference each other, then I think this is fine. I agree with you there.
Yeah, I've been talking to Kim, and also that's Kim Vuga from the Love Us or Leave Us Party. I've been talking to Jim Savage, who's the ex-president of One Nation and who is running as a Senate candidate here in Queensland as well.
Okay.
I've talked to a few other groups, and we're all in accord. We all will work to swap our preferences and help each other out. So this next election is going to be very, very interesting, and I think the major parties are in for a big shock.
Absolutely, yeah, I feel that too. I think this really is going to be a big change in Australia this year.
Yeah, the major parties have had it too good for too long, and they've failed us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, let's have another quick break.
Well, it's time now for your favourite rascal, rapscallion, murderer, rapist, pedophile, and leader of an ideology that wants to take over the world and subjugate you. It's Mighty Mo!
Allah!
Mighty Mo!
The last we saw of our hero, Mighty Mo. He was about to be overrun by a yammering bunch of Jews. Let's duck back into his tent now and see what has happened. Ah, fizzy muggles, what am I going to do now? The Jews are about to break down the door.
Oh, don't you worry, O mendacious murdering Saggy. They can't break down the door.
Why is that, fizzy?
Ha ha ha, because you live in a tent, thou mighty Mo. The worst they could do is rip the door apart.
Ah. Huh. How very comforting.
Oh, you are welcome, O my great and mighty prophet. Fatty, Fatty, come out here.
Yes, my beloved husband. What is it you require of this abject female who is not fit to lick your boots?
Lucky I don't wear boots, foolish woman. Go out the back door and bring my chief of security, Hummus Kebab.
I seem to be under siege by a bunch of irate Jews.
I go to do your bidding, O mighty Mo.
Ah, one day that fat farting fatwa tub of lard will be the death of me. Either her farts will asphyxiate me, or she will roll over on top of me while I am asleep and kill me that way.
Oh, but mighty Mo, why do you sleep with her at all? You have a whole harem full of beautiful young girls.
I have no choice. Her father
is the manager of my bank.
Oh, which bank is that, Mighty Mo?
Why, the Bendover Bank, of course, you fool. Have you not heard what he has done?
No, great and thunderous one, what did he do?
He has closed the account of some foolish peoples opposed to a mosque I want to build in their hometown at Bendover.
Oh, but can he do that, O wondrous one?
No, but that has never stopped him before. Oh, what do those Jews want, Fizzy? Why are they clamoring to get into my tent? Do they wish to cut off my head? Just because I slew a whole town full of Jews the other day.
Oh no, O mighty mole. I believe the answer is more mundane than that.
Are you sure they won't try to kill me then?
Oh yes, mighty mole. They merely wish to talk to you about the Bendover Bank.
Where is that woman? Why hasn't Hummus Kebab arrived? Here I am, my splendorous son of Khalid. What may I do for you? Go and let the Jews in before they pull down the whole tent. And make sure you stay at night with your scimitar drawn and ready. I obey, my spectacular diamond in the sky. Silence! Why have you come to my humble abode, clamoring like a brood of love-struck camels?
Oh, great and mighty Mo, we have come to place our grievances at your feet.
What grievances would they be, you scurvy, mumbling mob of mad-mongering muleteers?
That crazy bank of Bendover manager of yours, Bendover Bashir, has denied a savings account to a group of people resisting your attempt to build a mosque.
What does that have to do with me?
Our shares in the bank have dropped through the floor. Yes, that's right. Why, in the last 2 weeks, the bank has lost deposits worth more than 5 million shekels.
What do you mean?
People are taking the money out of the bank. It's become a veritable flood, a hemorrhage. We cannot continue.
Get out, you sniveling curs. Do you not realize that my mosque is much more important than your money?
But great mighty Mo, if we do not stop these people taking their money out, you will lose the 2 million shekels you have deposited in the bank, and your mosque will never be built.
That's right. The outrage is spreading, and people all over the country are taking their money out. Even we lowly Jews will be forced to take our money out of the bank if this doesn't stop. And then where will you be?
I will have to think about this very carefully.
Don't think too long, Venerable Mo. Our noses are twitching and telling us that this problem will only get worse unless and until that sniveling Bendover Bashir reverses his decision.
Yes, fire, Bendover
Bashir. Yes, fire, Bendover
Bashir. Fire, Bendover Bashir.
Yes,
fire, Bendover Bashir.
And there we leave our mendicant, mendacious mullah, Mighty Mo. Will he stop the drain on the bank? Tune in next time to hear more adventures of
Mighty Mo.
This is Mike Holt, your host on the Restore Australia radio show. I'm here with Daniel Evans from Canberra, and we've been talking about the upcoming rally on February the 6th. But let's move on to something that is also very concerning. In America right now, there's a big standoff between the federal government and ranchers in Oregon. I've been posting a lot of stuff up on my page about that. What's your views on that, Daniel?
Oh, well, yeah, when I seen this happen, I suppose to me, I felt it's just something that's been waiting to happen, and I'm very shocked that now it has come to this. It seems it was inevitable, and here we are. We've got a group of people, armed people, that are, you know, taking up a stronghold, and, yeah, they're... they're looking for their rights to be heard. From what I know, they do have a constitutional right to be doing what they're doing.
They do.
It is covered in there. So it's just so sad to see that in the country like America that it's come to that. This is what the people are resorting to now. It's just terrible.
It is and it isn't. It's good to see that the people are actually standing up for their rights, because here in Australia, everybody seems to have fallen asleep. There's very very few people who are actually standing up and saying, hey, hang on a minute, there's something wrong here. That is changing, and I believe that things like this in Oregon are starting to wake people up, although it's not getting much airplay on the local news here. But the fact is, the news is getting out through Facebook. I've been following this very closely and posting quite a fair bit about it on my Facebook page, because I talked to quite a few of the patriots over there, and this is a very concerning situation for them. But as I said, also, it's good to see that people are getting out there and fighting for their rights. Now, the situation is, for those listeners who don't know, the federal government has taken a family of ranchers to court because this family had the temerity to go into a national park and do a bit of a back burn to stop a huge bushfire, which, if it hadn't been checked, would have burned up literally thousands or even millions of acres of prime forest. So they were actually doing the forest a favour by doing this back burn. But the federal government has come storming in there and said, you can't do that. And now they've got a standoff, an armed standoff. Patriots have moved in from across the country to help the farmers. But it goes a little bit deeper than perhaps most people are aware. The fact is that that land around the farmers where they're having the standoff is actually got a lot of minerals and ores in the ground that they have been mining for decades. And they have a right to do that because it's either on their land or on land adjoining theirs, and they have miners' rights. But the federal government wants to take that over, and they want to take control of the whole darn thing, which is par for the course with these governments. They want to take everything and leave us with nothing. That is not the right way to behave, and therefore people now are starting to make a stand. But this, I think, also resonates with us Australians, because we are also in much the same sort of situation, although different. People are being disenfranchised from their land because of this stupid law that we have, where a mining company can just come into your land and take over and start mining without your permission. So if you're a farmer and you've been on there for decades and or even generations.
Generations, yeah.
Yeah, anybody can come in and start mining on your land. And I actually have a friend out at Mangalala, which is out west of Roma, quite a way west actually, a few hours west. And he had the same problem on his land. They came onto his land, and mind you, they did actually behave quite well in his case. They built a camp, and they put in all these different things like a water bore and other stuff. And of course, when they finished, they left it. And they did some exploratory work on his farm, and they couldn't find anything, so they left. He was lucky. Mm. But if they had found something, he would have been dispossessed and told to get the hell off, and they were going to mine. So we need to take control of our government.
With land ownership, it's you only own the top of the land.
That's right.
And the government owns, isn't it, in Australia?
I know, it's ridiculous,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm.
I don't buy a piece of land for 6 inches of topsoil. So, yeah, we've got to put a stop to this, and the only way we can do this is through people power. And so, once again, you know, I hate to keep banging the same drum here, but citizens-initiated referendums is the way to go, because with that, we get to have a say in how we are governed.
That's absolutely right. Isn't this how America... that sort of runs there? Because I know they vote on propositions.
Yeah, not all states. I think there's 8 states in America now do have citizens-initiated referendums. California is one of them.
Yeah.
But it's not the same concept as what we're proposing here in Australia through Restore Australia.
Yeah.
Ours would only be allowed. We would only be allowed to vote on constitutional issues. We wouldn't have a say in, say, legislation proposed by the parliament, and that goes for state parliament or federal parliament, because we believe that we elect politicians to go in there and represent us. The trouble is they don't represent us at the moment. They represent a political party, so that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
But if we have the right to vote in constitutional referendums, we can then vote to change, for instance, the way the structure of our government. So instead of having huge electorates that are controlled by the political parties, we could reform the electorates into small electorates, say of 5,000 voters, and each electorate finds somebody within the community to represent them. So we would have people in the community that you would probably know, and that representative could then go around and campaign in your community. With 5,000 people, it would be very easy to find everybody and talk to them and explain what you would do for them.
I suppose that does make it a bit more personal, but doesn't that create more government?
Actually, no. So what happens then is if we have a smaller electorate, we have 50 electorates form one regional government. So we would get rid of state governments. They're useless. And we would form a regional government. And from that regional government, we would send one representative from each electorate. So we would only have 50 representatives in the regional government. Right now, how many representatives do we have in a state parliament? 100, a couple of hundred. It's ridiculous. So by doing this, we would end up with a much smaller government, much more responsible, and those representatives from those 50 electorates would be directly responsible back to their electorate. So if they're not doing the job in the regional government, the people in the electorate could get together and say, well, we don't like what you're doing, we're recalling you, we're going to have another vote, and we're going to vote somebody else in. So it would make responsible government not only responsible, but the people who are going there to represent us would be working hard for us, not for a party. Now,
well, that's why it seems to be that they're meant to be, we're meant to be their bosses, you know, and it seems that they thought of they're in power, they're the boss now.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
This is what needs to be taken away from them.
That's right. So this is what we propose in Restore Australia. Now, the second part of this is one representative from each regional government, and there would probably be about 100 regional governments around Australia. One representative would be elected by the regional government to go and represent the region in federal parliament. And the federal parliament would be responsible only for federal issues, you know, like roads, federal roads, railways, defence, border controls and that sort of thing, right? Trade, etc. So we would have 100 representatives, and how many do we have there in Parliament now? Again, we have about 200 or 300, right?
Yeah.
That's not counting the senators.
Mm.
So we would end up with a much smaller and more responsible and accountable government. Now, I know the political parties hate this idea because they would lose their power, but, you know, at the end of the day, we vote the parties in. It's up to us. We can make the decisions. So we're urging everybody this election, this upcoming election, to stop voting for your favourite party. This is not a football game, right? It's time to start electing people who will do the job for us. And I think enough of us now have got fed up with the way the federal government works, and the state governments for that matter, that there is a big change coming. It has to come. We can't go on repeating the same mistakes again and again. That is the definition of madness. And, you know, we're a bit crazy in Australia, but we're not mad. So what do you think of that idea, Daniel?
You've explained it a bit more to me now about your draft constitution there, and it does sound, you have explained it, small government. I'm a very conservative person. I'm against big government and think small government's the way to go, less red tape, all of that. So, yeah, this proposal you've put forward is very inviting to me.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. The other thing is, I believe we are the only party with a vision for the future. You know, other parties have policies, but we have a vision, not only just policies, but a vision of where we want to take Australia. And that vision includes rebuilding our economy, and there are ways to do this that perhaps most people have never even thought of. For instance, if we wanted to kickstart our economy again, what do you think would be a good way to do it?
Build a dam.
Well, okay, that's a simplified way. All right, well, right now...
That I suppose I was thinking I was out of Burrinjuck Dam, and I was looking at it and I was thinking about when it was built. You know, it was the world's largest water storage facility. We used to have some major projects in Australia, such as Snowy Mountains Project.
Yes.
All of these. And
that was all funded by the federal government.
We haven't done anything in so long now. And like you're saying, we have sort of lost it. Like, they've gone and put this NBN forward. I suppose, you know, maybe it's given us Skype calls a bit better and, you know, people can download their porn faster, but...
Look, I'm a techie, and I've been in the computer business for about 40 years plus, and I can tell you that this NBN is rubbish. First of all, it's old technology before it's even finished. What is the new technology? Wireless technology. That's where it should have gone. This whole idea was brought in by the Labor government because it was a good way for them to rort the money off us. Look at the billions that have been wasted on this.
And
how many of you have a NBN in your home at a reasonable price? I don't. I can't even get it.
I'm in a cool city, yeah.
Yeah. But let me give you an idea here of how we could really kickstart our economy. And when I first proposed this, a lot of people go, no, we don't want that. But I'm proposing that we bring in service to the nation, similar to national service, but not quite the same. Now, service to the nation means giving back something to the nation. And we would make this compulsory because we believe that every Australian citizen benefits from living in our country. We should give something back. So what we propose is bringing in national service or service to the nation with a choice of either doing civilian service, like driving an ambulance or joining the SES and fighting bushfires or whatever it is, or joining the military. Now, with that proposal, we also say, if we're going to build up our military, we must make it a law that all equipment supplied to the military must be manufactured in Australia within, say, 5 years. Now, can you imagine what that would do to our economy? Immediately, the government would make money available to small businesses all around Australia to start manufacturing equipment, everything from shoelaces to jet engine parts, you know?
Mm.
That would kickstart our economy immediately, and we would start to build up our savings and our gross national product. That's one advantage. By bringing in service to the nation, we would also be able to train our people up to defend our country, and we would bring all our troops home from overseas. We would no longer go and fight proxy wars for the US or anybody else, the UN. We would bring all our troops home and they would be for defence only. If we decided that the government decided that we need to go to war because our country is under attack, that would be the only reason we would send troops overseas. However, if we are asked by our military partners or a friendly nation to help them in a war, then we would hold a referendum. This is where the referendums would be very, very good because we, the people, would have a say. Now, as a Vietnam veteran, I had no say at all in whether I was going to be drafted into the army or not. So I preempted them and I joined the Air Force before they drafted me. But a lot of guys just got drafted. They had no say in it. Some of our guys died for something that they had no interest in being there for.
Yeah.
So under our system, we would not go to war without a referendum. Another thing that we could do is, because we would have all these people with guns, we would train them. First of all, we would vet them very carefully. Anybody going into the military would have psychological testing as well as other tests to make sure we're not bringing nutters into the army. And then every trained Australian would be required to take their arms home with them. Now, no country is going to invade a nation like ours if we are all trained and we are armed and can be called in at any time of the day or night to defend our nation. Just look at Switzerland. They've had citizens initiated referendums for 100 years. They've had national service for that 100 years. They have never been invaded. Even when Germany was rampaging across Europe, Switzerland was left alone.
Absolutely, I recall that, yes.
Yeah.
that is some good points there.
Okay. Do you have any comments or questions about that?
No, well, I have brought that up with other people before too, because I'd call it a gap year. Once you had finished school, before you went to university or you went out into the workforce, there is a gap year. And I've talked about this with other people, same thing, a gap year, either to join the military or I suppose I did a similar thing. It was called Green Corps, sort of like a park ranger traineeship. I worked out at nature reserves, done weeding and, looked after nature parks really. And, so for the people who don't like war or anything to do with that, that's a civil service, that's something they can do. And absolutely, I think that is a great thing. National service brings national patriotism as well.
Pride in our nation.
Pride in our nation, because you've done something for it. Nowadays, it's just take, give, and just...
Exactly. And one other benefit is that because all of our youth, we propose national service at 18, they would be then made responsible. They'd get all this training, they'd gain a trade, they could be trained up in all sorts of things in the military, which they could then take back into civilian life with them and have a great life, and the trades would grow. The people who are providing services for the military, manufacturing, etc., they could be exempt. This would be subject to a referendum, but I believe that might be something that we could look at. Those who are undergoing an apprenticeship in something vital to the nation could be exempt from doing national service, or they could defer it. There's all sorts of things that
You could just say going to university then. Why shouldn't that be deferred then?
It could be.
You have your national set up. Don't have exemptions, because you have exemptions, everyone's going to jump onto the exemption.
Fair enough. Well, that's a good subject for discussion.
Yeah.
All right, look, we're going to have another music break, and let's come back and talk about that.
When I was young, I used to love this song. It's by Dave Dudley. 6 Days on the Road.
When I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard, I got my diesel wound up and she's running like I never before. There's a speed on ahead, but all right, I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears and a George overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes open wide. I just passed a Jimmy and a white. I've been a passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. But it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like a some other guy. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. ITC is a ticket on down the line. Well, I'm a little overweight and my logbook's way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge all the scales, all right.
6 days on the road, and I'm gonna make it home tonight. Well, my rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from a stack, and that smoke's a blowing black as coal. My hometowns are coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, you're right. 6 days on the road, and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road, and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road, and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Welcome back to the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt, and my special guest today is Daniel Evans. Before the break, we were talking about some of the ideas, the political ideas that Restore Australia is offering, and we were discussing national service and how we could get our country back on track. Before we move on to the next topic there, Daniel, let's get your ideas on that. What's your final thoughts on that?
Well, as I just brought up before the break, I think it is a great idea. I'll just say it again, for bringing patriotism back to the country, which seems to be lost. You brought up that it will make great young adults. And, you know, this is what I see in the community now. You know, people, up to their 30s and they're still acting like they're bloody teenagers just out of school.
Mm.
It gives a lot of responsibility, shows them the real world. And I guess you can see the world too in a lot of this national service, or at least a lot of Australia.
We as I said before, we don't really want to send our troops overseas to fight unless we are under imminent attack, and preemptive attack is always better than defence. But who knows? We might do exchanges with other nations, you know, training, etc. So yeah, that would be a good opportunity. Something else, though, when I start talking about this, people say, "Well, how are we going to fund this?" Well, again, we have an answer. I must mention, though, before I go on any further, that I have been very, very lucky to have a mentor in a man called Charles Mollison, who is a retired lieutenant colonel. He was actually a hero of the Battle of Long Tan in Vietnam. And a lot of these ideas that I've been expounding on came from him. Although I had been thinking along the same lines, and that's why I hooked up with Charles in the first place, because we did agree on a lot of ideas. So, you know, don't credit me with all the credit here. I'm walking on the shoulders of giants, and Charles has done a tremendous job working with people over the last 20 years or so to write that draft constitution you have in your hand, Daniel.
Yeah.
One of the things that he talked about, though, which is very important, is the financial situation. How are we going to finance all this? It's all very well saying we're going to bring in national service, blah, 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 but where's the money coming from? Well, there are ways to do this, and one of the things we need to do is to bring back, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, you're not, but the old Commonwealth Bank. As it was constituted back in 1901, I think it was, that Commonwealth Bank was funded by savings from ordinary workers in Australia. Our savings went into that bank, and that money then was funneled back into the nation to fund large projects. And in fact, the Commonwealth Bank funded and underwrote all of our contribution to World War One. And after the war, the chairman of the bank, Dennison, I think his name was, actually boasted that the bank could have funded our contribution to World War One 6 times over. So that's how much money the Australians had socked away into that bank from 1901 till 1914. Then I think it was 1928, Sir Otto Niemeyer came over here from the Bank of England and basically forced the government to give the bank to the International Monetary Fund. It wasn't called that in those days, but that's who it was, the Rockefellers and all those guys. And they set up the central bank, which is the same central bank we have today, which is controlled by the International Monetary Fund and the international bankers. So we have no control over our money system. Our constitution.
Touch a bit on that there. I have just watched something about pretty much where money comes from and how banking works.
Yeah.
And at the end of this show, it did talk about the way a bank works nowadays. To create money, you get a banknote.
That's right.
When you go to get a home loan, a lot of countries, the way they work, you don't actually have to have money to be able to give the loan.
No.
It's created. But to pay back this money, more money needs to be created, which is it's a perpetual motion that they need more loans. Each year we need more loans with more money to pay off the interest from this created money.
Yeah, they're creating money out of thin air.
It pops, and that's what happened in 2008 and 2001. We didn't feel it down here. This is why the government in Australia has made laws just now saying that banks have to have more reserves of money, but they still can lend money they don't have.
That's right.
After, like some countries, I think you have to, if you want to lend $100 billion, you have to have $50 billion in your bank. What happened at the end of this show, I was saying, instead of doing this to create money or to create wealth flow in your country, would be to make massive projects such as dams, roads, and pay for them through government banknotes.
That's right. Actually, under our constitution, only the federal government has the authority to issue money. So the banks are actually acting illegally by creating money out of thin air. But, they don't give a darn, and the government has no power to enforce this. So under the system that Restore Australia proposes, we would like to set up a central Bank of Australia, probably call it CBAC or something, and that bank would be financed by the federal government. So they would be the central bank would be the only group authorised to issue money in Australia. Now, what would happen there is the banks themselves, the private banks, would continue to do business, but they could not create money out of thin air as they're doing now. They would have to go to CBAC and borrow the money at a set rate of interest. Now, we propose a rate of interest of 3% to the banks. They would then on-lend that money at a fixed interest rate of 5%. So they're making 2% profit on each dollar that they lend. At the same time, we bring in a taxation system of 0.1% tax, transaction tax on any bank transaction. And the banks would have to maintain that themselves. You know, they would have to do all the paperwork and then pay back the money to the federal government. So every time you go to the bank and you borrow money or you take money out of the bank, put money in, there would be a 0.1% bank transaction tax on it. Now, that's not a lot of money, but what would that do? Well, first of all, you wouldn't be paying income tax anymore. There'd be no need for it. You wouldn't have business tax. You wouldn't have GST. You wouldn't have all these other taxes that we now pay. And we have taxes on taxes, which is illegal under our constitution. And yet the government is getting away with it because our governments are actually unable to handle money properly. They're working on a debt system, and eventually somebody has to pay, and it's always you and me.
This is what I'm saying. This is the way the world's economy works now. And what you're talking about right here now, I can't recall the country, but there is one or two countries in Europe now that have done what you've just said, where they cut out this making money, letting banks make money out of thin air, because this is exactly what they do. And this is what's causing all this trouble and debt.
Yes. Actually, Iceland did it.
Yeah, Iceland, was it? Yeah.
Yes, they're one of them. But the thing is, you see, these big banking corporations, international bankers, they don't like this. And of course not, no. But then you have a situation like Libya, Iraq. They were trying to get out of the international banking system, and that's why their leaders were bumped off and the Americans invaded. It had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. It was all about those countries trying to get away from being enslaved by the American dollar.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have the same problem here in Australia. We're not going to get out of it easily. But if we want to become a sovereign nation, able to look after our own country and create our own money and be friendly and trade with all countries, then we're going to have to take the hard yards and stand tall and strong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but to do that, we need a government that is strong enough and able to withstand the storm that will come for sure. And how can we do that? You vote Restore Australia in, because we have a plan.
Well, I hope that there's a lot of people listening to your policies here that are in your region and will be voting for you.
Right. Well, by setting up a political party, we're actually making it possible now for people all over Australia to join, and then we are looking for people to set up a party. What's the word, over, you know, like in each state. So it would be a Restore Australia Party, New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I've already got people in Tasmania who are interested in doing this, and I'm looking for people in other states. But we are not just going to invite people in willy-nilly, because we've seen what happened to, say, One Nation. They were just bringing in people left, right, and centre, and in the end, look what happened to them. We will be vetting these people very, very carefully, and we make sure that they share our values and our aims, and we will make sure that it's done right. So, do you have any other questions before we go?
It sounds like a great plan for that. I think we've covered quite a few range topics tonight, and it's been great talking with you.
Right.
I think you'll do great once you're in the Senate there, and you'll be able to bust some balls, so to speak, in Parliament.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm not the sort of guy who takes things sitting down. So, you know, once I get into Parliament, I will be pushing for change. And if they don't like it in there, if these politicians who've had it so cushy for so long start getting antsy, well, they've got me to answer to. And they better watch out, because I won't take it sitting down. So be warned, all you guys in Canberra, I'm coming. All right, well, thank you very much, Daniel.
Up on the 6th of February for Canberra, the National Pegida Rally, 2 p.m. at Parliament House. Buses, it doesn't matter wherever you are in Australia, get onto your local Patriot page or your Reclaim Australia page, and they should be able to put you in touch with your local person that's going to bus down to Canberra and work something out. And as I said, we have got a fund going up, so if you're worrying about money happening to travel down, we will be trying to make a lot of these buses as cheap as possible. So hope to see thousands of Aussies on the 6th of February in Canberra.
Fantastic. And the same goes here for Restore Australia. If any listeners would like to know more about the rallies, please get in touch with us through PM, or you can email me at restoreaustralia@gmail.com, and I will pass you on to the right people to talk to. And please help out financially if you can't get there yourself. I know that the guys could do with some money to pay for all the expenses. Heck, if you can finance a barbecue, that would be good too. But if you can, jump in your car or jump on one of the buses and get down there and support this rally. Let's show the world that Australia cares about the people and about our sanity and safety. We don't want Islam coming into our country, and we certainly don't want to end up like Europe. So let's get off our backsides and go out there and make a noise.
That's right. Stand up for our Western democracy and Australian culture.
Absolutely. Daniel, thank you very much for coming along. Do you have any final words?
No, that was them. Thanks, Mike.
Surely good. All right, mate. Thank you very much for coming on the show, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And I look forward to seeing you again next Thursday. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time, here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us, but you never will, because we believe in freedom, and we will fight you to your death.